Sports. Welcome back to the War Room. Second hour is on. Donald Trump is live in the Oval Office, about to sign some executive orders and taking questions from the press. Hopefully he signs the executive order declaring Antifa a domestic terrorist organization today, since he promised to do that yesterday on Truth Social. We go now live to the Oval Office.
Follow up on Charlie Kirk. There's been a lot of talk about free speech this week. Do you see a difference between cancel culture and consequence culture?
Well, I mean, your question's a little trick question. I'm a very strong person for free speech. At the same time, when you have networks that where I won an election, like in counties, I guess it's 2,600 to 525. That's called a landslide times two. When you have that kind of that level of popularity or voter support, as I did in the last election, and yet 97% and 94%, different numbers. You see different numbers with different stats. But 97, 94, 95, 96% of the people are against me in the sense of the newscasts are against me. The stories are 97% bad. So they gave me 97. They'll take a great story and they'll make it bad. See, I think that's really illegal, personally. You can't have a free airwaves. You're getting free airwaves from the United States government, and you can't have that and say, and somebody that just won an election, and I had to go through this during the election. I think it's a miracle that I can win when 97% of the stories on the networks are bad, or whatever it may be, whether it's 89, it doesn't matter. It's a tremendous number. You know it. You report it all the time, and it changes. But when you have that kind of a negative reporting, fake negative reporting, when they take a great story and they make it into a bad story constantly, that's what they do. Look, 60 Minutes took Kamala's answer and they threw it out and they gave her a different answer so that she sounded competent. When things like that happen, George Slapidopoulos from your network, right? George Slapidopoulos had to pay $16 million to me because of what he said. And that's ABC. You had to pay more than that. Your network had to pay more than that. So I think it's very sad. But I think that reporting has to be at least accurate to an extent. Again, when somebody is given 97% of the stories are bad about a person, that's no longer free speech. That's no longer anything. That's just cheating. And they cheat. And they become really members of the Democrat National Committee. That's what they are, the networks, in my opinion. They're just offshoots of the Democrat National Committee.
Mr. President, thank you. Liam Cosgrove with Zero Hedge. People are still anticipating who your pick for National Security Advisor will be. They're worried Marco Rubio is a little overworked. And one of the reported front runners is Michael Anton from the State Department.
He's
just authored the National Security Strategy. Also in the mix is Mike Flynn and Steve Witkoff. Can you give us an indication of who?
Well, they're all good. No, we'll make a decision soon.
Okay.
But we're doing very well. You know, I settled seven wars, more than that, I think. But actually, we settled seven wars. I have, we're working on Gaza. It's a tough one. But we'll get it done somehow. And we're also working with Russia and Ukraine. They hate each other so much, you wouldn't believe it. President Putin and President Zelensky, they hate each other to a level that you wouldn't believe. So I'm having a little bit of a problem with that.
And are you considering Stephen Moran for Fed Chair?
I hadn't thought of it too much. He's doing a great job. Just got approved. His vote was a very good one. The Fed should have done more. You know, too late. Powell is terrible. He's a terrible chair. I think he's just terrible. But despite that, we're powering through it. We have another record stock market today. We're very, very high levels, and we're at the highest levels. So we're setting records many, many days during my administration. We've set records, and we'll see what happens with 50,000. 50,000 is a pretty big number. Never come close. We're not so far away from it. So that's because they see what's happening. Not so much what's happening exactly right now, but they see all the plants that are being built. They say, see the kind of investment.
All right, folks, we're going to pick this up on the other side. Trump is signing executive orders in the Oval Office today, but he's taking questions from the press first, I guess, which is...
Whoa, dude, is that methylene blue? This house really knows me.
Oh, wow, Shilajit gummies. I gotta hide these from Melania. She loved them bigly. These sure taste great, and they're good for me, too. You can buy me now at the alexjonesstore.com.
Well, hello there, Info Warriors. We are having a 60% off sale on selected items. Take a look behind me. We have the sea moss and Shilajit gummies. And you know, we have the medical grade methylene blue that will light your ass up like a Christmas tree. You can also buy one of me in the store. Act now while supplies last.
Peeling back the layers of the day's events to reveal the core truth. War Room with Harrison Smith.
Welcome back, folks. This is War Room. Second hour is on. In the third hour, I'm going to be joined by Lisa Logan to talk about social-emotional learning, which I think deserves increased scrutiny, especially as we're seeing what's happening with the education system, not only churning out college kids who seem to genuinely not be human or have human emotions as they celebrate or shrug off the brutal murder of a young father. We've seen video after video like that. But then I noticed, at least in the first day, pretty much every video I saw celebrating Charlie Kirk's death was from a university professor, employee of some sort, a teacher in some line of education, which is extremely disturbing that we have these people teaching our children. But he just, the crew is monitoring this Trump press conference. We could go back to it, but, you know, he's sort of talking about who he thinks is chat. I guess we should go back to it. But that first question he was asked was about cancel culture versus consequence culture. And I guess I'm a little bit disappointed by his response. His response was sort of to make a larger point about the bias of the mainstream media, which is absolutely true. There's no doubt about it. And the figures he cites, I'm very familiar with, 97%, you know, negative reports on Donald Trump. When it comes to late night shows, we showed you the article yesterday that's like, why don't late night shows ever make fun of Biden? They spent 4 years ignoring the presidency. Wonder why that is. Well, because they're completely partisan. And he's right. They are essentially an extension of the DNC, and their broadcast should be considered sort of in-kind donations to the Democratic Party, because that's all they're concerned with. But it's not about you, Trump. This isn't about you. Does he think this is about him? This isn't about you. It's about Charlie Kirk. So he's asked about consequence culture, like, you know, Jimmy Kimmel. And he's like, well, they talk bad about me, and that's not fair. It's like, this is literally nothing to do with you, actually. Which is, I mean, oh, he talked about decapitated babies on October 7th. Yeah. It's interesting, because I was about to ask, you know, who's giving Trump information? Like, does he not get, the correct response, I think, to that is, you know, cancel culture is when people were being fired from their jobs for like saying all lives matter. Do you know how many people were fired for saying, yes, Black Lives Matter, but all lives matter? And they were fired. That's obscene. That's ridiculous. That's cancel culture. Consequence culture is when people don't want psychopaths teaching their children in elementary school. When you don't want despicable weirdos who are dancing on the grave of an innocent man to be imparting that mindset into the young minds that they're in charge of. That's consequence culture, because these people should not be around children. They should not have their jobs. It's completely understandable why you wouldn't want to attend a business or go to school with people who want you dead. That's obvious. Now, if people are just not as on board with the far leftist, you know, brainwashing as you are, that's no excuse to fire them. If they just say all lives matter rather than Black Lives Matter, that's not a reason to fire somebody. Somebody's name being similar to a Civil War general, so he gets taken off the job. That's cancel culture. That's ridiculous. That's what we've always been against. But like I said yesterday, nobody on our side would have been surprised or shocked or outraged if somebody was fired from a, you know, important job or a, you know, job where you have to deal with kids, and they're out there on their personal account making a video mocking the death of George Floyd and saying more black people should be killed by police. Like, would any of us have been outraged by that and been like, cancel culture gone wild? No, it would have been like, yeah, dude, why would you make that video, you idiot? These are completely different topics, and it's just upsetting, honestly, that Trump is, he obviously just doesn't understand. He obviously just is not aware of what's actually happening right now. I guess nobody's telling him what's happening. I guess he's believing what they are saying, and they're talking about October 7th. Let's go to that clip now. Can we do it? Can we go live to the press conference where you said he had a question about October 7th?
When it comes to Israel and the Middle East. So we have a long time to go, but you know a lot of my opinions. And remember this, you can't forget October 7th either. People are forgetting October 7th. They forget it too quickly. That was one of the worst days in world history.
I bet.
It was the most evil attack that I think you could really say babies were involved, little babies were involved.
Were they?
Having their heads chopped off and all of the things that took place. You can't forget that. I don't forget that. A lot of people do, but I don't. Yeah, please.
But how about
what goes into retaking Bagram? Does that require boots on the ground?
We'll see what happens with Bagram. We're talking to Afghanistan. It should have never been given up. It was the most embarrassing day in the history of our country. There was no reason to give it up. I was leaving Afghanistan. I was the one that got it down to 5,000 soldiers, but we were going to keep Bagram.
All right, so you're talking about taking back over Bagram base, which is the base that we unceremoniously fled under Joe Biden, resulting in the death of, 13 servicemen and women. So Trump's talking about retaking that. I don't even know how that's going to go. But he repeats the lie about beheaded babies on October 7th. And it's like, was there a beheaded baby? I don't know. I know I've seen more dead children as a result of Israel bombing Gaza than I ever wanted to in my life. I know that's a continual source of dead children. At least he didn't say 40 babies in an oven, because that's the talking point that, again, has just been blown out of the water since the moment it was made, yet it persists constantly because, you know, you have to have the atrocity porn. You have to have the atrocity, the emotion, drive up people's blood pressure, get that adrenaline spiking so they can make bad decisions and feel like if we don't do it now, we're all going to die. So we better just do it. Don't think about the consequences. This is the problem, is it's like, I don't want to talk about Israel, but everybody in power won't shut the hell up about Israel. It's the only topic they talk about. Seems to be the only topic they care about. So I guess we got to talk about it now. And I guess we will. Let's go to clip 18 here. It's a little compilation I put together. About Benjamin Netanyahu. Just, you know, over the last 6 months or so, he just keeps being accused of things. He has to deny it. And it's just, you got to feel for the guy. Let's watch.
Your own soldiers have been accused of killing innocent Gazans who are in line for food.
Yeah, I could deny it because it's a Hamas accusation. They're the ones often who are doing the shooting.
From the analysts in the studios, Israel is not in violation.
Netanyahu has denied that reporting, along with accusations that he is trying to perpetuate the war in Gaza.
The deception, the lies, the starved children, the pictures of starved children. And also the reason you see the flattened buildings is because Hamas booby traps every single building.
How many civilians were killed? Practically none.
The charge that Israel deliberately attacked UNIFIL personnel is completely false.
President Trump in the last couple of days vetoed an Israeli plan to kill Iran's supreme leader. Is that true?
Actually, there's so many false reports.
And frankly, we also have to do something about the the algorithms and the social networks.
This kangaroo court called the ICC, they declared me a war criminal.
If we're practicing genocide, we're surely doing a very bad job of it. But all these stories are repeated ad nauseum.
But I can tell you categorically, there is no army in the world that acts in a more moral fashion than the army of Israel.
Israel has the most moral army and also the most adjudicated army.
What a bold-faced lie.
Netanyahu also rejected claims made by Barr that he was fired for personal or political motives.
And yet Israel is, of course, accused again and again and again.
Pretty much the way that in the Middle Ages Jews were accused of killing Christian children for their blood.
If you repeat a lie often enough, it assumes the cachet of self-evident truth. Well, somebody has fabricated a monstrous big lie that Israel had something to do with Charlie Kirk's horrific murder. This is insane. It is false. It is outrageous.
When Jews, especially in the Middle Ages, the horrific Middle Ages, the worst things were said about Jews you couldn't possibly believe. We were poisoning the wells. We were drinking the blood of Christian children. You name it. I mean, these things. That continued, actually, up to the Holocaust. I don't think people will give in to these ridiculous, ridiculous lies.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is a turning point.
Poor guy, man. It's just, he can't get a break. All these people are just accusing him of the most outrageous things, right? The ICC is accusing him of stuff. Trump's accusing him of stuff. Videos are accusing him of stuff. All the dead babies are accusing him of stuff. All the starvation is accusing him of stuff. It's just, it never ends, poor guy. He's just innocent of all of it. All of it is wrong. Isn't that crazy? Isn't that nuts? Just constantly having to beat back all these lies that Israel's let October 7th happen. Ridiculous. That they're bombing Gaza in order to carry out ethnic cleansing. Crazy that this might rise to the level of genocide. Insane. Anti-Semitic. That he's starving children systematically. Nuts. What? How could you even imagine such a thing? And it goes on and on and on and on and on and on and on. I mean, did you know that the reason Gaza is flattened is because Hamas blew up all of their own buildings? Did you know that? They're so crazy, aren't they? Just so they can blame it on the Jews. It's just, it reminds me of the Middle Ages. It reminds me of my youth in the Middle Ages. So it's just absurd. It's just absolutely absurd. Now, again, there's good reason to blame Israel because Charlie Kirk blamed Israel. Because I heard a month before he died from somebody with intimate knowledge who told me Charlie Kirk's afraid Israel's going to kill him. And I'm in this sort of weird position because I can understand how if you weren't me, you would have trouble just taking that at face value. Now, it's not really that hard to assume because I did tweet it out a month before Charlie Kirk was murdered. Now, I've never tweeted that out about anybody ever. It's not the type of thing. I just typically, you know, people are literally out there being like, "This is you're just like trying to get views." And it's like, what? So you think I just randomly tweet out this person's afraid of being killed by Israel on the off chance that they're murdered a month later? But it's the first time I did it. I just happened to get lucky this time. It's ridiculous. The very fact that I tweeted that out is proof that it should be taken seriously. Because it was a month before, and it was firsthand knowledge. Secondhand knowledge on my part. But that's not the only reason. We've got reason after reason after reason to assume this. And again, I could understand why, if you weren't me, you could write this off. That's what people do. They go, well, whatever. This just, it was a good guess or something. And they just go, well, you know, who told you? Tell us the name. And it's like, I literally can't. I mean, I could, but like, it's not my information to tell. And the person that told me doesn't want to put their name on it. Doesn't want to go, I'm trying, guys. I'm insisting. You've got to go public with this. Say what you know. Go to Max Blumenthal. They won't do it, and it's not my right to expose their secret. Or else, who's going to ever trust me ever again? I didn't even have permission to put it up in the first place. to put up that tweet saying Charlie Kirk's free. I didn't ask if I could put that up, but I did. But I'm not going to reveal their name if they don't want me to, because I haven't been given permission. It's not my right. So I can't do that. All I can ask is that you trust me, because for me, I can't write that off. I can't just go, well, it may have happened, but, you know, maybe he's lying and just, you know, justify it that way. I heard it. I was told this. I can't just pretend that I don't know. Now, I, again, can see how people could go, well, we don't know the name of your source, so we don't believe you. Fine, you can make that choice. But I'm telling you, I have to believe this. And then there's some weird stuff going on. I don't really get exactly what's happening here. People on the right who believe it's Israel are arguing very vociferously against that possibility, and I don't understand it. I literally have big accounts in my DMs telling me, hey, I'm in contact with people around Charlie and people in the Oval Office, and they think it's Israel, and they're really scared. And then those same accounts are posting on X, the claims that it's Israel are ridiculous. There's no proof. I don't know. I don't get why. Again, I'm not going to expose their name either, but it's weird. But it's very weird. People in DMs telling me they think it's Israel, but they're out there arguing against it being Israel online. I don't know what that's about. But I'm just going to tell you straight up. And the idea that this is in any way anti-Semitic, that that's what it's born from, it's ridiculous. And just to lay it out there, I talk about Jews the same way I talk about literally everybody. I talk about Israel the same way I talk about any country that's doing what Israel's doing. And I have Jewish friends that I'm incredibly close. I mean, I have Jewish friends that I consider like family. And I talk to them about this, and I speak in exactly the same way I do now, because I love them. Because Netanyahu is literally putting all of your lives at risk, trying to create the Greater Israel Project. And it's all part of it, by the way. It's all wrapped up together. They need the anti-Semitism, so they act outrageously in order to create it. It's a feedback loop that they've started, that they're starting. So I talked to my Jewish friends, and I went on the Jewcast. It's called the Jewcast with Andrew Meyer not too long ago. The first thing he asked me, what's the issue with the Jewish community in America? My answer, you guys have a lot of extremists that are making you look really bad. The Randy Fines out there, the Netanyahu's out there. They're out there saying, I represent all Jews. If you don't like me, it means that you're an anti-Semite. Don't let them use you like that. I've made this joke forever where it's like you talk about George Soros and, you know, you're like, this George Soros guy is giving a ton of money to some bad things. And, you know, he's causing a lot of problems in America. And George Soros leans over to like the, you know, Jewish bakery owner and goes, you hear that? He wants to kill you. It's absurd. Don't be the bodyguards for these scumbags. And know where they're leading you. Total destruction. They're sacrificing you. They don't give a damn. Like Alex pointed out yesterday, Jews who wanted people to go to Israel, Zionists that wanted, you know, to drive people to Israel, would bomb synagogues in the 1950s to convince Jews in Europe you're not safe here, to get them to go to Israel. That's a historical fact. So while, yes, there is a large contingent of the right that, by the way, beef with me all the time, they hate me, and I really can't stand them a lot of time either, who want to make everything about Israel, and if it's not about Israel, they don't care. And if they can connect to Israel, then that's all they care about talking about. I'm not one of these people. Not the top of my priority list. Certainly not motivated by any, you know, hate of a group or anything like that. But then there's the flip side. The flip side is people that will avoid ever talking about Israel because of those other people. And it's like, why don't we just treat them like any other group? It's really not hard. All right, so they just asked Trump about Antifa. He is still taking questions in the Oval Office. The crew's monitoring it. Let's hear Donald Trump's response about Antifa.
What comes next after designating Antifa a terrorist organization?
We're going to designate too, but we're going to look at the people that funded Antifa, see who they are, where they came from, and why they did. Have you seen Portland at all? Have you taken a look what's happening in Portland? It's amazing. This has been going on for years. It's just people out of control. crazy. We're going to stop that very soon. We have to get rid of a couple of other problems first. We're going to get rid of the problems in Memphis where you can't even walk a block without getting shot. We're going to get rid of the problems in Chicago. Chicago's a great city, and we have to save it. We have to save it. I told you, I had the head of the Union Pacific Railroad in my office, and I said, so what do you think? You go to every city. You have railroads in every, you are the biggest railroad, beautiful railroad. He's a great guy. I said, what do you think? He said, sir, save Chicago. Don't let it go down. Save it. The way he said it was so meaningful to me. It was so like, it was like terrible. In a way, it was terrible. Save Chicago. You know, who would ever think that we'd be sitting here talking about saving Chicago? Chicago's a great city. They have a terrible mayor. Terrible. He's at like 5% approval rating. He's an incompetent person. They have an incompetent governor, in my opinion. He's incompetent. 11 people get shot, and he says crime is in a good check. I mean, they're losing 4, 5, 6 people a week, getting killed by bullets, by knives. And then he says how wonderful it is, Chicago. So, well, it might be wonderful for him. I think they're afraid. Look, he's not a stupid guy. I really believe they're afraid to say, politically, I guess, from an ideology standpoint, from a Democratic standpoint, he's afraid. He is afraid to say the fact that they have a very unsafe, very dangerous city. He should say, I'm going to call President Donald Trump, and I'm going to ask him to send in the troops, to send in the National Guard, and clean this hellhole up. Because Chicago can be a great city again. I'll tell you what, Washington, D.C. is a great place again. It's booming, and the restaurants are booming. And 6 months ago, 7 months ago, nobody could go outside. And even just walking around the White House, people here are thanking me for what I've done. They're thanking me. They're saying thank you. And I almost know what they mean, because they can walk to work. And even when they took Uber and they took other forms of transportation, they felt unsafe because the car was hijacked while they're in there. They take a car and it's being hijacked as they get into the car. And they did that for safety. And now we have a safe place. You know, we've taken 1,500 people out of career criminals have been taken out of Washington, D.C. And we weren't very nice about it.
Do you know what you think?
All right, so that's Trump answering a question about Antifa, but he sort of jogged into the overall crime issue. Of course, Antifa and the overall crime issue are related, but definitely not the same. I mean, obviously, the reason that crime is so high in many of these big cities is because of the lack of will to actually punish the evildoers, the likes of judges, DAs, Soros appointees, letting people out of prison over and over. And it's the same people that would let Antifa out over and over, but these are distinct issues. And Antifa is not just your run-of-the-mill, you know, criminal drug addicts. They are a highly organized, highly orchestrated, well-funded international terrorist network. So it needs to be dealt with severely. Now, you should be signing executive orders today, and I imagine one of those should be designating Antifa as a terrorist organization, as that was the promise he made yesterday. Now, during the first Trump administration, Attorney General Bill Barr said the DOJ would use its regional FBI Joint Terrorism Task Force to identify criminal organizers and instigators of violence during the George Floyd protest, including Antifa. I think the latest with those is that everybody they arrested was then released and got a settlement to receive $20,000. Pretty sure, last I heard, the people that were arrested during Black Lives Matter riots in Philadelphia and New York and Seattle and other major cities sued the cities and won and have now received giant payoffs because actually our tax money has been paying for these groups, facilitating them rather than.
President Trump was cooking at McDonald's the other day and giving people french fries. And people criticized me and they said, well, you know, he's out there giving fast food. And I said, I don't have anything against fast food. I'm against food that has seed oils. When I was a kid, McDonald's was made with tallow fat. That was good for you. Your body needs that. It makes you healthy.
It's great.
Why aren't we making it with tallow fat again?
RFK Jr. shocked many when he sat down for a meal with Fox's Sean Hannity.
The pair dined at fast food chain Steak and Shake, eating burgers and fries in a bid to highlight the chain's switch to frying their food in beef tallow, which is a healthier alternative to traditionally used seed oils.
People are raving about these french fries. You taste them.
They're amazing. They really are.
I am so excited. After over a year, we have the highest quality private labeled beef tallow out there. You've heard RFK Jr. rave about it. The health effects, how good it is. This sucker is boom heavy. This is high quality. It is very competitively priced, and it funds this whole operation. It is optimal human beef tallow, grass-fed from thealexjonesstore.com. And it is night and day compared to all these other fats and all these trans fats and all of the seed oils that are so toxic, especially when you heat them. Not this. It is so good. It is now available, discounted, at thealexjonesstore.com. No preservatives, no artificial ingredients, gluten-free, packed with nutrients, unlike seed oils, which are fake toxic garbage. Beef tallow is real food that promotes whole body health and is so good for your brain. And 25% off right now. Beef tallow is 100% pure beef fat concentrated, packed with vitamins like A, D, E, and K to support hormone health and fuels your brain with clean energy. No industrial processing, used by humans forever. No additives, preservatives, or GMO garbage. High smoke point to support various cooking methods like frying, roasting, or baking without releasing toxic fumes or free-range free radicals. Rich, clean flavor. Ladies and gentlemen, it's night and day. Beef tallow is the best. We've got a private label, one of the top brands in the country at thealexjonesstore.com. We are so excited about this. And again, Kennedy talks about the health effects, talks about how delicious it is. I remember until the 90s, the best places you get french fries at, McDonald's, where they went total GMO, fried their fries in beef tallow. God, did they taste good. So it's also totally delicious. You find the operation. And cows that God gave us are amazing. We also have our bovine colostrum is a private label of the highest quality, 2,000 milligrams per scoop with other natural herb compounds, the marshmallow root that accelerates it. And it's the first 2 weeks of any mammal, including humans, isn't what you think of as milk. It's basically clear, and it's full of all of these super nutrients that boost your immune system, that grow your brain, that help your cells, that energize everything. It's literally the first mother's milk concentrated. Big discounts on it right now at thealexjonesstore.com. And there's so many other amazing products there as well. We have the new creatine gummies that are the highest quality type of creatine, concentrated 5 milligrams per gummy. Everybody knows about creatine for your muscles and working out and your heart and stuff, but the brain effects and with your nerve endings, it is truly incredible. So be sure and check that out as well. Our new creatine gummies in two different flavors. It's a really great deal, a huge container of them for a low price. And then talk about your mitochondria, your cells, skipping multiple oxidation processes in the cells, cleaning them out, getting fast, clean energy with no letdown. And that's just the first effects. And everything else for your brain, your body, it is amazing. The workouts, Ultra Methylene Blue. We have the best medical grade. You've heard me talk about it. You've heard the rave reviews. You're insane if you don't get it. And yes, the third shipment, both have been small, which is very hard to make. It's got so many great ingredients. Proprietary Methylene Red. Look at what's in it. Look up each ingredient. Ask Brock about it. Ask your doctor about it. Ultra Methylene Red, a limited shipment, just came in today.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Navigating the maze of mainstream narratives, Harrison Smith finds the hidden paths in the war room.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. We got a lot of videos to show you this segment, a lot of things to talk about, and then we'll be joined in the next hour by Lisa Logan talking about the social emotional learning, the demonic mindset that has been very systematically ingrained into our education system. Very excited to talk to her. And then we have a pre-recorded interview with Australian pop star Aya May, who of course had the really breakout hit Carmageddon. She's been working on some more music, talking about some more controversial topics. And we had a very fun conversation. We had to pre-record though, because she's in Australia and that's like a million miles away in a different time zone. I want to go to some videos here, sort of completely different topics, sort of shifting over a little bit. And in fact, guys, I don't know if you can grab one of these videos. I think the first video from this article from Vigilant Fox, but it's also on InfoWars. Rand Paul dismantles ex-CDC chief in brutal Senate showdown. And he's asking this woman, Dr. Susan Monterez, about the COVID vaccine and basically just rakes her over the coals about it. which is very good to see. And we're seeing a lot of really positive developments in the health world. CDC panel votes to push back MMRV vaccine recommendation to 4 years old. So they used to recommend that tiny babies get the combined mumps, rubella, measles, like all the vaccines at once, the MMRV vaccine all at once. And they decided maybe that's not the best thing to give to little tiny babies. Now, one of the reasons they give it to babies so young and in a combined fashion is if they think that you are likely to miss appointments or not get your child vaccinated on a routine schedule, then they'll just give them all of the vaccines at once on the assumption that you're not going to come back in, which can overload your child's system and is much more dangerous. But they're more interested in getting the vaccines into the child's blood than actually protecting them from anything. So we're seeing some positive developments there, and I want to go to some of those videos. But on the other hand, the developments on the facilitating of death side of healthcare, like, I don't even know how to intro this. I don't even know how to intro this story, to be honest with you. I was like, oh, healthcare. I'll talk about the CDC, and then I'll go to the, you know, suicide topic. But I don't know what the bridge is. I don't know how to connect these stories. All I know is that while America is trying to claw back its healthcare system from the moneyed interests that have destroyed it largely, places like Canada and the UK are going with a whole other tack. They've got a whole other set of priorities, and they're very disturbing. So let's go now to this first clip, 29. This is a woman who was running a hospice in Canada when she suddenly found herself under fire from the Canadian government. Let's watch.
Right. So it's everybody.
It's everybody.
Wow.
So we did have a public partnership, public-private partnership with the Fraser Health Authority.
Okay.
And we were told in our hospice, so I became the president of the Delta Hospice Society, and we were told because we had a hospice that we operated, a facility that we actually built. We fundraised $8 million. We built it. We got a land lease for 35 years. We built those buildings on it. We were told that if we want money, we're going to have to start killing our patients. And we said, well, we're not killing our patients. We're palliative care. We don't do that.
Right. The whole point is to just ease the suffering as they go through this experience.
Live well.
Life. Yeah.
Until your natural end, which we can help you with.
Yeah.
Right. And so they said, well, you're not getting any more money. And we said, that's fine. We don't want your money and we don't need your money.
Wow. Okay.
Right. We're sitting on this land with our buildings. So we had 25 years left on that land lease. So as soon as we started to resist and be defiant, not get into lockstep, they canceled that lease with 25 years left.
Wow.
Right?
Yeah.
They evicted us from our buildings, took our money away, and basically took our facility from us, kicked us off the land, and expropriated those buildings, $8.5 million worth, to the government. So the government walked in, started to operate our hospice with us gone, and provide euthanasia there.
Jeez.
That is absolutely outrageous, and it does fit into this model we're seeing where they will shut down a bank account. They go against the lease that's been signed. What good is a lease if it doesn't, you know, protect the property for the, then you've invested that funding and money into knowing you're going to be there for a period of time, and all just because you're like, we're not going to offer death as one of the options in our hospice.
So you are now compelled, you see, and this kind of is conquest and then compel. That's the dance. That's the modus operandi that they're using, and that's going to be facilitated by the court system, by the judiciary.
Yeah.
Right? And all of our courts and our judges are appointed in Canada, appointed by the government.
Yeah. And so the government is controlling the whole thing. And where does the media come into this? Why is the media not pushing back? I know here we have pharmaceutical control of our media, so we'd be kind of screwed here, but you don't have that in Canada.
No, we have government control of our media. The government gives the media billions of dollars. So basically it's, you know, I joke, kind of not really, that is like Soviet-style Pravda.
Yeah.
That's our media.
So none of the television stations, they all get government funding?
They all get money. But particularly the CBC.
Yeah.
That's the state.
That's like the BBC for Canada. So just to recap, in case you missed what she just said, that woman owned a hospice for palliative care. People who are close to death went there to be comfortable and to be cared for until they passed away naturally. The Canadian government came in, said you have to provide assisted suicide. They refused. So first the government said, we're going to take your money away. They said, that's fine. We don't need government money. Then they just kicked him out of the building, took over the lease, canceled it, took over the practice, and started killing the patients. Again, the number one cause of death in Canada last year, I'm pretty sure, was doctor-assisted suicide. It's at least very high up the ranking, and it's tens of thousands of people. And I just want you to sit with that for a second. I mean, I just want you to really understand, like, when we talk about humanity versus the anti-humans, good versus evil, life versus death, it's not a vague thing. It's not a something you have to interpret. It's very real. It's very real. And the side of death will tell you why they're doing it. And it has nothing to do with the claims that they like to make. In fact, I saw an article today that was like, Canada could save a lot of money by killing people earlier. It's beyond absurd. It's one of these things where, like, I should be yelling about it, just try to get through to people, like, how crazy this is. But, like, if you can't tell how crazy this is, I don't know if me yelling can get through to you. That the Canadian government will not let you run a hospice if you don't kill your patients. And they're offering MAID, medical assistance in dying, aka being murdered by a doctor, for things like being poor, mental illness. They're trying to offer it to children, or as they put it, mature minors. And this is the end result of whatever this is that we're fighting, whatever you want to call this force that InfoWars has arrayed itself against. This is sort of the ultimate expression of that. Now let's go to the next clip. This is in the UK. This is in their House of Parliament, a guy explaining that assisted suicide and all of these other anti-life programs, they are in fact intended and designed for population control. Let's watch.
That's a minor change compared with this century's growth in the world population from 6.1 billion to 8.2 billion. A 25% increase in 25 years. But just think what the 2025 numbers would be if abortion had not been legalized, or there had not been wide-scale usage and advocacy of contraception. And indeed, the growth of homosexuality throughout society has reduced the number of children we would have had. Had the churches had their way, we would have had a very much bigger population than we presently have, facing the difficulties we have with climate change.
Ah, yes, climate change. Yes, we must deal with climate change by increasing the murder rate. We can get them when they're old, we can get them when they're young. How do we get them in the middle? We start World War III. So there he is, literally celebrate, going, how much worse would the population be if we didn't have abortion, if we didn't have contraceptive? Of course, the only people that are subjected to this are their own people, right? You look at countries in Africa, India, Southeast Asia, they have a birth rate of, you know, 4 babies to every one person that dies. I mean, they're exploding, right? But UK and Western Europe collapsing, not even at replacement level, far from it. In fact, nothing's being done to correct that because they want that, because that's the outcome of the policies that they put in place on purpose. That's the design, and that's what they're telling you. It's sick. It really is sick. It's evil. And I keep reminding people, or I keep being reminded of it myself. Think about the fact that our birth rate in America, of all race, colors, and creed, but for Americans, people born in America, our replacement rate has not been met. We are not having enough children to replace us. Yet, at the same time, there's a major housing shortage, and especially in Texas, we're building neighborhoods so fast, we're sucking the springs dry. Like, rivers are going dry because we're pumping all the water out before it gets to the spring.
to feed or to, you know, replenish the supply for these endless neighborhoods, as far as the eye can see, the same tacky boxes filled with people from India? What are we doing? How is our population not yet at replacement level, and yet we're expanding so much, we're sucking the springs dry? Do you not see a major problem here? And of course, we can get into why that is and how the entire economic system is basically a giant Ponzi scheme. But that's another aspect to this. We have a video about, you know, the way that BlackRock and all these other organizations are now getting access to your funds all over Europe, retirement funds. We'll go to clip number 33 here, because this is, again, in the EU, Ursula von der Leyen. Now, the last guy we saw is predicating all of this death, all of this, you know, designed suicide or abortion or contraceptive, like all this just limitation of, you know, human procreation. It's all being predicated on the charge of climate change, which is kind of passe. We're kind of not into that anymore. In fact, Ursula von der Leyen, during her State of the Union speech to the EU, used to always be about climate change. This time it was about war. It was about, we're about to go to war. We need to be on a war footing. And that's what they're all about now, which, you know, if you want to talk about one thing that's probably the worst than anything for the climate, it would in fact be war. But they never believed in climate change anyway. They don't give a crap. They just want you dead. And climate change is the excuse that you need to let them kill you. It's like, I don't even know how to deal with this level of evil. It just is constantly spilling out of these organizations. Let's go now to clip number 33. This is a speaker talking about Miss von der Leyen taking all of their money to spend on war. Let's watch.
Ms. von der Leyen needs money, 800 billion euros for weapons. And now we've heard that private savings need to be turned into investment, and we're calling it a savings and investment union. It's just fraudulent labeling, really. What she actually wants is to give more money away, namely money from our citizens. Savings accounts are going to be plundered. And we Germans know very well how reliably you behave with taxpayers' money. We saw when you were in Germany what was done, and that there was systematic violations carried out. Millions of euros went where they shouldn't have been. In fact, there was even an inquiry committee set up looking at what happened. You, Ms. von der Leyen, instead ran away to Brussels. And you're continuing to do exactly the same as you have in the past, spending billions of euros on vaccines. And here again, we're seeing all of the information hidden, everything hidden, all of your messages on your mobile phone magically disappeared. This is not something we should see happening. Never should this woman be able to invest our money. Never should she be able to get her hands on citizens' savings. We do want to bolster the army. We do want to have good investments. However, we shouldn't have billions given away by text message.
So, like, do you understand how what's happening in America is happening worldwide? We just had this. We had Tiffany Cianci on it, sounding the alarm bells. And then after the vote passed and the bill was signed, saying, well, we just crossed over the edge. We just crossed the line. We went over the cliff. Now we're just waiting for the impact. And that was opening up retirement savings accounts to places like Goldman Sachs and BlackRock to plunder, to invest your money. But they're just taking your money. They'll invest it. They'll take the profit. But if they lose, it'll be your money that gets lost. I mean, this is happening worldwide at a pace. And whatever they need to say to justify it, they'll say. In the case of the EU, they need money for war. Can't go to war without, you know, the appropriate amount of money, so they're going to be plundering your retirement savings for that. Here is about opening them up for investment, supercharging the economy. But it's the exact same thing. Now they're introducing digital ID, of course, across the board, which will come with a digital euro, digital dollar, which will be, you know, the easiest thing for them to plunder. In fact, the way they're going to do it is have expiring money, just to make sure that you aren't able to save up enough to make a down payment on a house. there won't even be down payments on a house because you won't be able to afford them because they'll all be rental anyway. They are remaking the entire world right in front of us, destroying ownership, even of your own money, so they can have access to total control over everything that you ever do by having transactional oversight over every dollar that you spend. It's a social credit score, like even worse, even crazier. Like at least in China, you can still get on a train. It's just the slow train. You know, the UK is the number one country in the world for arrests for speech violations. And the next highest one is like, I don't know, some third world country you've never heard of. And it's like a third of the amount of people arrested for their speech, as in Britain. 12,000 people a year get arrested for their speech in Britain. That's like one every couple hours. Somebody's arrested for things that they said in Britain. It's the number one censorship program in the entire world. Europe has abandoned its principles. It's abandoned its foundational morals. And I don't think it realizes it yet. I think it's still like acting as if it still believes these things. It doesn't. All that stuff is passe. Free speech born out of Europe, born out of revolution after revolution in the UK, in England at the time, starting with the Magna Carta 1,200 years ago. I mean, the European civilization is something that people have fought and bled and died and suffered to build over 1,000 years, and we're just giving it up. It took 1,000 years to build this house, and we're letting them take a sledgehammer to it. It's outrageous. Now, on the topic of health, Europe and Canada are firmly in the belief that suicide is the best medicine. Luckily, here in America, we're going the opposite direction. Rand Paul had a showdown with the ex-chief of the CDC, questioning her about the efficacy or viability of the COVID vaccine. And of course, she has absolutely nothing, because everything they ever said about it was utterly fraudulent and was only allowed to be said because they literally changed the definition of vaccine so they could claim this was a vaccine. I mean, the explicitness with which they did this is truly something to behold. Here's Rand Paul questioning ex-CDC director Dr. Susan Monterez about the COVID vaccine.
Does the COVID vaccine prevent transmission?
The COVID vaccine can reduce viral load in individuals who are...
Does it prevent transmission?
When you have reduced viral load, you will have reduced transmission.
But in other words, it doesn't prevent transmission. You can still transmit the virus if you've had the vaccine. In fact, there's been reduced ability to interfere with transmission over time. And what we've found is the most recent one since Omicron is down around 16% reduction, if there is a reduction. Does the COVID vaccine reduce hospitalization for children under 18?
It can.
It doesn't. The statistics are inconclusive. And the reason you can't prove that it does is there's so few people under 18 that go to the hospital. The numbers are extraordinarily small. There's like 76 million kids under 18 in our country. 183 died and a few thousand went to the hospital in 2020 and 2021. And since then, the numbers have dropped precipitously. And the idea and the issue needs to be discussed. But the COVID vaccine is not reducing hospitalization. It's not statistically significant. Does the COVID vaccine reduce the rate of death for children under 18?
It can.
Once again, it can. That's a ridiculous answer. No, it doesn't. And there is no statistical evidence that it does reduce the death rate. These are statistics. We've looked at it.
Now, I don't know about you, but I couldn't help just stare at her face. Can we play that again? Keep the audio down. Just watch her face. Just look at the smug smile she has on her face. I'm trying not to curse. Crap-eating grin, the smirk she has on her face as she is confronted with the facts that Rand Paul has, that there is no justification for the COVID vaccine, especially amongst people under 18. And she's just smirking at it. Sort of reminds me of... Oh, what's his name? The smirk from the FBI Strzok. Peter Strzok. Similar kind of vibe. Kind of a smugness that comes with feeling totally untouchable when it comes to blatantly lying to the face of Congress over and over again. She doesn't care. You think she genuinely believes that the COVID vaccine, I mean, honestly, do you think she believes that? Do you think she thinks that the COVID vaccine can lower transmission or is good for people under 18? There's no reason for her to believe that. Rand Paul's got all the stats. It doesn't show anything. So what is her belief based on? She's make it up. She doesn't have stats to back up her claims. Rand Paul has stats to back his claims up. She says it can. She puts on the little smirk. It's like she's trying not to laugh. It's like, you stupid whore. I don't know what else to say about it. The incredible side effects of the COVID vaccine, the heart conditions it can give young men, like myocarditis, which has a 50% death rate in the first 5 years after you get it. And the likelihood of getting it skyrockets as soon as you get the COVID vaccine. And yet she feels untouchable. Where are the Nuremberg trials? Why do we have so much evidence of their malfeasance and none of them have paid any price for it yet? Again, the stats Rand Paul is reading are devastating. And it proves beyond any doubt whatsoever that these people peddled a poison to the people of the United States. And they're there smirking at us as the stats are read off in front of them. Where are the Nuremberg trials? These people committed crimes against humanity and they're still committing them to this day when it comes to the COVID vaccine. Why are they sitting there smirking at us? So good on Rand Paul. There's more videos from this confrontation. And they only get more outrageous. He moves on to the hepatitis B vaccine. He talks about myocarditis, saying that somewhere between 6 and 8 in 10,000, but that's much greater than the risk of hospitalization or death, which are not even measurable because they're so small. So the likelihood that you get myocarditis is significantly higher than actually having to go to the hospital for the vaccine. And if you get myocarditis, you have a 50% chance of dying in the first 5 years. And this woman is peddling this crap and smirking when these stats are said to her. You can go to Infowars.com to find the article with all the videos posted there. And go to thealexjonesstore.com to support everything that we do here. And of course, right now is a fantastic time to go. Life is fiery with its beauty. 1 year anniversary fundraiser sale. The Alex Jones Store has been online for 1 year now, and we're celebrating by giving you massive discounts on things like the shirts and hats. Hats and shirts are just $25 instead of the regular $35. Plus, we're giving everybody a free $11 to spend on the store this week only. No code required. It's just automatically applied to any orders over $75. Join the VIP club. Go now. TheAlexJonesStore.com. Keep us on the air and in the fight.
So I'm not giving up. I'm not going away. If they shut us down, I got the Alex Jones Network. I don't know, and I'm going over there. You finance it. You paid for it. Your support. I'm just telling you, here's the weird paradox. I thought we'd be shut down last year. I thought we'd be shut down 2 months ago. The receiver won't let us order new product over at InfoWars.com. So we're in this paradox now where we're winning, and now they're like, well, you'll actually be open in the middle of next year now and all this stuff, and there's no money because people believe it was going to shut down. Plus, there's no product. But I convinced the receiver. I said, can we at least make fundraising posters, which are very low cost, have a high markup, people know it's an investment, to keep us on the air, kind of do that? I said, yeah, you can do that. I can just tell you, we need your support right now at InfoWarsStore.com. Three posters I designed, two I designed, Rob designed the other one. Defend the West, famous Crusader King, Make No Peace with Evil, same Crusader King, and then do like that still image of me, and it is the bestseller. It's I've only begun to fight John Paul Jones, and it's InfoWars 1997 to 2026. And yeah, you can buy unsigned for $25, big posters, glossy, in a tube, or you get it for $100. You're like, God, that's huge markup. Yeah, it's a fundraiser. Like when commies give NPR $200 for a ball cap, costs $15. That's the whole point. We're actually winning right now. I don't want to count chickens for their hats. It's not the Democrats. It's not the DOJ holdovers. They're going to shut us down. If you don't go get these posters and you don't support us, and I'm not bitching at you, I'm just telling you, I'm not saying you got to do it, then you will be the ones that shut us down. This is a marathon, so please support us, InfoWarsStore.com. I need the money right now. It's like a Star Trek Wrath of Khan. He goes, I need warp speed in 3 minutes, we're all dead.
Scotty, I need warp speed in 3 minutes or we're all dead.
And you guys have got us out of this over and over and over again. And me, I'm not giving up. We need to keep pushing because we've got their ass.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.